Let's talk commissioners with Joe Hughley in the studio with us. How you doing, Commissioner?
You know, I'm doing pretty good for an old guy. Thank you, my
friend.
For
an old guy, you're doing
good. Beautiful day,
okay.
Maybe a little moisture in the week, so a good start to the week.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. We'll take it, and if we can get some moisture out of it, we will love it for sure. So you brought in a pair of ladies today.
I like that description,
yeah.
Pair of ladies. I brought Jana Schaaf and Jennifer Vonning, I please. And when I have most of the morning dedicated, I think, to what their message is. But let me,
yeah.
They were at our meeting yesterday, and our chairman, Michaela Wooler, I think, had asked them, and they had an important message. So I think that I'm going to give them a little time to share that message with the rest of the community. Yeah, yesterday was a good meeting. Had a couple of exciting things. We had a new deputy that the sheriff swore in the morning,
mm-hmm.
And always nice to have a new member to our Lincoln County deputies. We also, I guess, signed a couple of letters of support or a couple of different companies that I think Pinpoint is one of them, and another one is NextLink that are looking to put fiber
mm-hmm.
in the county. And so we gave a letter of support to both of those, not trying to play favorites, but I think the broadband people at the state of Nebraska will take that information into consideration.
Do you have to choose one of those eventually then? Is that how that
actually
works,
the choice won't be ours. I think the choice will probably come down to, because it's in the past we have, but I think that a big part of this decision is going to come from the state of Nebraska.
Okay.
They'll make a pretty strong recommendation, I think, as to which of those groups they'll select. There's just a ton of criteria they go through. So, yeah.
Does the county provide funding for whoever is chosen then, or how's that work?
No, this is 100% grant funds.
Okay.
It's a federal grant to expand the broadband throughout the community.
High-speed internet, basically, is what we're talking.
High-speed internet.
Yeah.
One mm-hmm. company, I think, has a little bit more track record, at least in our county, with fiber. The other company, I think, throughout the state, has most of their projects have been towers. So I think that's going to be a big part of that discussion. I think I probably maybe have a preference, but, each to their own, I guess. They each have a place. So as long as we can get that expanded service, I think that's an important part.
Okay.
What else did we do?
You discussed and considered a grant from Farm Credit Services for a camera for the Lincoln County Diet
Team.
Yes,
I was so pleased that the Farm mm-hmm. Credit... in fact, actually, I didn't even know they did this, but we had a dive team that does a tremendous job, just a number of things. They've recovered, as you're probably well aware, a number of vehicles, whether they be stolen or not, and unfortunately have recovered several bodies. And it's probably, I think, that what most of us think about is dive and rescue, either saving a person or, unfortunately, making that a recovery situation. But of that $5,500, that we were able to get a $5,000 grant from Farm Credit. The other $554, I believe, they did have budgeted. So those are the kind of purchases we like. I'm glad that they took the time to research that and thank the Farm Credit organization for their help on that. I know we're looking at a new product it's Hall Brothers are the ones that do it, and it's a sealer. You know, in the past, our asphalt roads, in order to extend the life, we'll put we call it an armor coat, which is a about a 3/8 inch bath of oil along with some gravel surfacing on it. and to extend the life of an asphalt road so that we don't have to mill that road up and make a complete, you know, 2 or 3 inch overlay of asphalt. So we're going to try a new project. There's only one company that does this. This is going to be about a 7 mile stretch, I think, down on Banner Road between, it's southeast of Brady, I think, to the Dawson County line. Mm-hmm. Dawson County already on Banner Road has this product. So we'll be matching up with that, and it'll give us a good a test run to see if this product holds up the way we hope that it does. But considerably less money than either of the other two options. I think that was just under $200,000. It was $196,962, I think. And so that will be a good test run for that. That kind of brought us to what I'm going to say was certainly my highlight for the morning, and that was to listen to these two young ladies. I guess what I really appreciate about their message is it's a message of cost cutting in a time when there's such need. I can tell that both of them, and in fact, this first young lady that maybe is going to speak, Jana, is I really related because got a little emotional. They do this from their heart. They don't do it for the money. It's something that they love and they truly believe in. I was lucky enough to listen to our chairperson, Michaela Wooler, along with the sheriff yesterday at a meeting last night, and the sheriff got a little emotional about an issue special to him, and he does a lot of volunteer, a lot of work, missionary work, and so, you know, when people do things from their heart, it's easy to tell that. And so their message really, I think, is to help support, I guess, our most vulnerable people in this county, and it's always difficult to do that, but now it's more difficult than ever. So a few years ago, they went and did a collaboration, I'm going to call it, of several different nonprofits to try to see how they can operate in this community, in this county, in the most cost-efficient way possible and still provide the services to those people. So without me going on and on, ladies, Jennifer and Jana, please.
We'll introduce these ladies. Community Connections Executive Director Jana Schaefe. Welcome in, Jana.
Good morning,
Corey. You can pull mic down a little bit so we can hear you a little bit better.
And I forgot, how are you doing? You know, Jennifer's with RDAP, or Rape and Domestic Abuse Program.
It doesn't like to stay down, does it? It just, might have to.
I'll manually make sure it stays.
Put the headphones on it.
Yes, yeah, if you put the headphones on it, that'll keep
it. That helps.
A little bit, anyway. That's good. Welcome in. Yeah, that's good enough. That's good enough.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's good enough. We'll adjust
physics
on our end. So Jana Schaefe is with us, and then North Platte Rape and Domestic Abuse Program Executive Director Jennifer Bonning. And welcome in, ladies.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. It is from the heart. You don't get involved in groups like this unless you have a heart for those that are disadvantaged and need help and can get really their only option to getting help is from groups like you're involved in, right?
That's a lovely introduction that Commissioner Hughley and Corey, you're offering to us. The being useful element is kind of innate for a lot of people who work in the social impact world. And that's where we were leading yesterday. We wanted to...
Thanks, Joe. Yeah. You have permission to leave. Yeah. And we don't want you to... Yeah. If you have to cough, go ahead.
Commissioner Hughley knows the story, certainly.
Yeah.
And that's, Corey, what we're trying to share today, certainly, is a story that some people are simply not familiar with or don't understand the problems that nonprofits in our area serve are complex problems or significant problems. So
right.
We're really... we're really excited about the opportunity to tell our story.
Can you kind of preface this and give the folks, maybe there's a lot of folks like myself that haven't heard about this nonprofit collaborative that Lincoln County has put together. How did this come about and how did you become part of it?
The group of people who have gathered are really excited about the work that we can do together. We know that we're better when we are together. There's strength in that connection. And as the usefulness that we all certainly focus on kind of hit a different note a couple of months ago, we thought this was certainly our responsibility to share how it is that we can help each other better and then bring in the community as best we can by telling the story.
Okay. And it came together, as I understand, when President Trump was elected, because all this talk about cutting services back, is that kind of how it came together?
Yes and no. The group has been meeting actually for a number of years. Okay. There's some formality, just some agreements that we've definitely enjoyably decided upon. Commonalities, and as a result of some of the executive orders, we kind of changed directions to say, okay, there's a need to tell our community about the help that we need as a product of lost funds and the instability that creates in a community.
Right. Do you feel like with all this talk, and I mean, because nothing is set in stone, certainly, but with all this talk of cutting back, that you're having to kind of get out there and you know, wave the flag sort of bit and say, hey, we're here, we need these funds, we're not wasting anything, these are needed, and kind of, do you feel like you're in that role of legitimizing why you exist and kind of trying to give these stories, put these stories out there of how many people you serve?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well stated. There's a very quiet value that a lot of the nonprofits bring. We oftentimes hang out in the background and quietly do our work. And at this point, we just need to tell the story so folks can understand a little bit better about when loss does occur, what that looks like, and how can we avoid that. Consequences of that loss when we're working with vulnerable people. And you said it. There's certainly an accountability that we have to our grant funds. In our discussion after the commissioners' meeting yesterday, we were all comparing notes about the degree to which we do find ourselves to be highly accountable for every dollar that we spend. The receipts are provided to our grantors, and I think that's an important thing to share with people who maybe have not been involved in the administrative element of a nonprofit or a social impact agency.
Jennifer, you chime in a little bit and talk about your position there with RDAP and the role that it plays in this community, and not just North Platte proper, but the surrounding areas too.
Yes. So RDAP serves Lincoln, Logan, McPherson, Hooker, Thomas, and Cherry counties. And we do 24-hour crisis response. We have 5 shelter locations. Protection order assists. We help with financial assistance. There's so much that we do behind the scenes in the community, and unfortunately, we are going to be receiving some pretty significant cuts to our funding. As of July 1st, we will have lost over $100,000, and then come October, we'll have another cut of $199,000. That funding goes towards rents in our, you know, for us to have shelter properties. Two of our shelters are pet friendly, so we try to have as many different options that best meet the needs of each individual survivor if they're not going to leave a domestic situation because they can't take their pet. We try to provide that for them so that if they're ready to leave, there are no obstacles or barriers in their way. These funding cuts, we will have to cut shelters. Last year we sheltered 134 individuals, 86 women, 6 men, and 42 children. So it's a kind of crisis for us to try to determine what comes next.
You're going to be, in other words, with the cuts, you're going to be forced to turn people away,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And yes. Nobody likes to be in that position.
No.
Nobody should have to be in that position, yeah.
You know, I think that you hit the nail on the head and when you mentioned the word people, because we talk about programs, we talk about names, RDAP, but we forget that there's a face that goes with that. It's not just the individual, it's not a domestic abuse program. And the majority of those, I think, probably are women, but not all. And so, you know, it affects a lot of people. And unless you know somebody that's been in that situation and how tragic it really is, just try to imagine being in an abusive situation maybe your whole life. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And you finally are given, you know, a chance to help yourself. It's such an important program, and I've been fortunate enough to, over the past years, hear some of these stories personally, and they're absolutely heart-wrenching. And so when we talk about that, we can all disagree on, whatever your political philosophy is. All of that, you have to put aside and look, what are these ladies doing and what are they offering? And what happens if that goes away or is cut? Think of your own family, I would ask people out there. And, God, I never put myself above what could happen. Whatever happens to other people can happen to us, myself included. And so I hope that we as a community look at that in this light, that these aren't programs, these are people we're talking about, and those people that are the most vulnerable above us. So I don't mean to walk on what you're saying, but it's a personal story.
So is there, for funding options, what is available? Can the county offer, make up some of this difference in cuts? The city, or what has to happen so we don't have to cut at least as much as you would have to cut with, what you mentioned with the 105,000 in July and almost 200,000 in October?
We're resourceful. Nonprofits are. That will find a border. That will find an end at the local level. We will do our very best to continue to raise funds at the local level through fundraising. We will continue to find grants. The grants are reducing the number of grants. We're seeing fewer grants for reasons that we all are understanding. So that leaves us with fewer tools in the toolkit. So we're certainly wanting to again share our message. Take our message to the populations like your listener body this morning, Corey, and other people who can come up with ideas that can help us at the local level to address these needs so we don't have to see vulnerable populations direly affected.
Yeah, I think the key is to get the word out about this and what it's going to mean. And nobody, I think when people hear about cuts on one level, they're saying, well, maybe they're necessary. But like what you said, Joe, when you bring it down to the human level and we understand that cuts mean you're going to have to turn people away and send them searching for what they need elsewhere, and we don't want to do that, then I think most people, when they hear that, they rally. And then we'll come together, and if we all give sacrificially, and I know there's opportunities to do that in this area, certainly, we can make up some of that difference. I don't know if you can make it all up, but you just have to kind of think leaner and think out of the box a lot, don't you?
I think that's well stated. We will ask people to give from what they find to be disposable income. I think we will all be in a place of some sacrifice, and I think that that has brought other people who are making the sacrifices joy too. To altruistically give is a pretty cool place for our community to kind of banner around, rally around.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't help you sleep well at night thinking about these cuts and all that. I mean, you already deal with difficult circumstances, Jennifer, and you can speak to that too. It's just what you're doing. I mean, you have to be you're giving of yourself, your time, and your resources, and then you're depending so much on these other funds to help you do what needs to be done with the community. Needs and for a great cause, and you don't want. I mean, it's stressful enough without hearing about these, and I can imagine you've gone through a lot of twists and turns in your mind probably. And how are we going to handle this? Huh?
Yes. Well, we don't ever want to have to make the decision whose life is more important than the next person. These individuals matter. Their kids matter. They deserve a safe place to live. They didn't choose for this to happen to them. So with that, we want to come around and give them all-encompassing support to help them deal with a very traumatic time in their life.
Yeah, I just can't imagine what it would be like for a woman, or, I mean, I know it happens to men sometimes too, but mostly we speak of women when we're talking the group, like groups like you work with too, and those kind of situations where they're being abused and then feeling like they're locked in and can't get out of it, and like there's no options. And I mean, you're a big option for them, and if they don't have that option, then what are they going to do?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Another thing that, you know, I've served on the crime commission I don't know, 20 years or something, and that's where a number of these funds are passed through, is the Nebraska Crime Commission, or Commission on Criminal Justice. They're passed through funds, a majority of them, from the federal government. And so I know we on the Crime Commission and on those that actually, you know, help decide where some of these funds are going or dole them out to different programs, have had to make some significant cuts also. And had to do some prioritization within our organization. But programs such as we're talking about here today, the Community Connections Program, the Rape and Domestic Abuse Program, whenever possible, I think those are some of the funds that we try to give the highest priority to. But you know, it sort of, this is where the rubber hits the road, is this is down where it really happens locally and even beyond locally to individuals. So that's why I think it's so important for the community to listen to this message and step up and do what we can as a community. And so I hope that maybe the ladies can leave some information that if somebody does want to get a hold of you, and you know, just leave a nickel or two, that it's always welcome. I know you wouldn't turn it away. So before we're done, maybe you can.
Certainly, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead if you have or a fundraiser coming up or something you want to point people to.
Well, I mean, Giving Day is coming up next month. And I mean, RDAP is not an isolated program. I mean, we're all struggling. So even if RDAP is not the place where you choose, there's an amazing group of nonprofits out there that are going to do their best to meet the needs of the community with the resources we have.
They wanted to give directly to RDAP. Can they do that?
Yes.
And how would they do that?
We have, you can come into our office.
Where is that at?
We are at 316 East Front Street.
Okay.
You can stop by the office anytime. Between 8 and 4.
You have a website they
we
can
do.
Go to?
Yep, and nprdap.org.
Okay. And Gina, what about Community Connections?
I would certainly echo what Jennifer just said about Giving Day. Fantastic folks who are doing fantastic work. The Nebraska Community Foundation goes above and beyond to set us up for some generosity that we also get to celebrate. The other element, Corey, if I could add this too, RDAP has been most immediately, significantly impacted. If the opportunity presents itself here on Muggs and then other places across the community, other nonprofits and social impact agencies that are impacted, we also want to bring that spotlight to the community.
You betcha. Yeah.
So we'll
get you scheduled. Yeah.
Perfect.
Get with me and we'll find a place for you.
Beautiful.
For sure. Our guest this morning, Community Connections Executive Director Gina Schaefe, and North Platte Rape and Domestic Abuse Program Executive Director Jennifer Bonning. Thanks, ladies, as well as Commissioner Hughley, for coming in and shedding light on this important thing, which we will continue to keep top of mind for folks. Okay.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you.